Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale. Frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belleville.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome back, Tokers and Tokettes, and you non-token lovers of liberty. Time for Toker Talk Radio. I'm Radical Russ, coming to you live from beautiful legal potland, Oregon, on the banks of the Willamette River, 26th floor of the Ardea Condominium Complex. Yeah, I hope you're having a good day today. I hope everyone out there is having a good day today. I hope people that have a birthday today are having a good day today as well. Happy birthday. So, we've got some Seattle Hemp Fest highlights coming to you here in this hour. My third speech of the Seattle Hemp Fest, one you haven't heard yesterday, or didn't hear yesterday, from the Kevin Black Memorial Stage. We'll get that on for you. Plus, I'm sitting in with Chief Greenbud on the main stage with I Just Want to Get High. And then for our 20 after break, we'll hear the Groovin' Higher Orchestra. Oh, man, I love this band. 14-piece band. Full horn section. Kicking some old school jams. We've got an old school jam from, well, you know it's old because it's the year I was born, 1968. So I'm just going to leave it at that. We'll put this out in the chat room. Y'all can ruminate on this. What song from 1968 would be played by a big band with a horn section that plays rock music? Think of 1968 tunes with big horn sections. Let's see who in the chat room can figure that one out. Also, we've got some great interviews that I did at the Seattle Hemp Fest. We've got Martin Lee from Project CBD, and he joined us to talk a little bit about other cannabinoids. You know, we talk so much about the CBD, of course, has gotten very popular, and then THC, of course, obviously. But there's a whole bunch of other cannabinoids in there. CBN, CBC, CBGB. No, wait, that was a punk club. But there's a lot of other cannabinoids in there, and Martin Lee is one of the guys who knows a whole lot about them, so we're going to hear from him at half past. And then to close out the hour, we got an interview with Allison Drayson, CEO of Etalooz. They're an edible products company in Washington State. We talked to her about what's going on in Washington. It was a great time at the Seattle Hemp Fest, let me tell you. And for those of you who just joined us or joined us a little later, we broke news earlier at the beginning of the show about a decision out of the 10th Circuit, U.S. Court of Appeals, that decided that you could not pull over someone with a Colorado license plate in Kansas just because they have a Colorado license plate. So that's a good decision for people driving out of Colorado. Now, it's one of those situations, though, where you have to go, yeah, so all this really means is it teaches the cops to come up with a better reason. Right. When they see the Colorado license plate, now they have to actually lie about the improper lane change or the drifting in the lane or the the one little license plate light in the back that's too dim, or the window tint that's too dark, or whatever the excuse is that they make to pull you over. There's always a good excuse, right? But we're making progress. We're getting more and more of these courts to come up with sensible decisions. We're getting more and more people to understand jury nullification so that in some jurisdictions, they can't even seat a jury for a simple possession case. In some jurisdictions, prosecutors are telling the police, don't even bother to bring me any cases that have to do with simple possession because I can't get a jury. If you don't know about jury nullification, please look it up. FIJA.org will tell you everything you need to know. We're back with my speech at the Black Stage right after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Legal to listen to all over the world. We're just not sure about France. CannabisRadio.com.
Play as Ted Growing, expelled botany sophomore and the biggest grower in town, only on Weed Firm Replanted. Available on the App Store and Google Play.
It's a lot of work being the biggest grower in town. Maintaining a room full of plants while dealing with a slew of eccentric customers, from a hardcore partier to the curious neighbor next door.
Is anybody home?
Help me expand my bud business by unlocking new strains, customizing my grow room, and completing challenges that you can't get enough of. Grow your empire so big you can see it from space. Low on funds? Don't worry. Weed Firm Replanted is free to download.
Download Weed Firm Replanted for free on the App Store and Google Play today. Get growing, Mr. Growing.
Tommy Chong Show on Cannabis Radio.
You know, about this podcast, what I really want to do from now on is to solve world problems. I feel like my job is to calm everybody down and focus on how we can save this planet.
The Tommy Chong Podcast, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome to my world.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. And some, I assume, are good people.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Remember, friends, there's more to life than marijuana. I just can't remember what it is. Why'd I come in here? You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, we got more of those highlights from the Seattle Hemp Fest. Took place last weekend, silver anniversary. And if you want to go sometime in the future, you better make a donation. Seattle Hemp Fest needs you. Visit hempfest.org or gofundme.com/keephempfestalive. I've been fortunate to speak at Hemp Fest for the past 10 years. I had 3 speaking slots this year. We played 2 of my speeches yesterday. Today, my final speech from the Black Stage at Seattle Hemp Fest. Enjoy.
This is Russ Belville. I know him really well. You think I could just rattle this off, but no. Russ Belville's been doing this for a long time. Just a fun fact, Russ Belville and I are both wearing our Boise, Idaho Hemp Fest shirts from just 6 days ago. I introduced him at Boise because Russ is magically from Boise. He doesn't live there now, but that's where he's from, and he wanted to go back and try to legalize medical marijuana in the one state in this area that doesn't have any medical protection. But he is mostly known as the executive director of 420radio.org, the host of the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com, a live weekday talk show, radio show, that's been called the NPR of POT. That's pot. And you can also catch his twice weekly Radical Rant column in hightimes.com. Please welcome Radical Russ Belville. Thank you, Steve. Fun. Give it up for Steve. Welcome to the, where are we? Kevin Black Memorial Stage. I'm Radical Russ Belville. Like I said, I'm on CannabisRadio.com. I do a live daily talk radio show for the cannabis community. So whenever there's news, there's studies, there's polls, I'm covering all that. It's just like the news, except it's about something you care about. So check that out on CannabisRadio.com. I also write for High Times. You can catch me in High Times magazine from time to time. HighTimes.com twice a week. The column's called Radical Rant, where I go off on whatever it is that made me mad this week. And here's something that made me mad. I went back to Boise, the Boise Hemp Fest. I wore the Boise Hemp Fest t-shirt because I'm originally from Boise, Idaho. Go Big Blue. I was the last Buster Bronco on green turf in Boise, Idaho. That's how old I am. And I went back there because as much progress as we're making, there's still a lot of places that have yet to make this progress. And we need to remember, as good as we may have it, others out there are still struggling. Thinking back that this is the 25th anniversary of Hemp Fest, when this Hemp Fest first started, there were zero legal states, zero medical states, zero decrim states. You just got busted if you had weed. I started coming to Hemp Fest in 2004. At that time, there were 8 medical states, zero legal states, and about 12, 11, 13 decrim states. Now, 25 states that recognize some medical use of cannabis, 4 that have legalization, 21 that have decriminalization, 21 that have industrial hemp, 16 that have CBD-only laws. In fact, there are only 7 states left where there is absolute marijuana prohibition, where it isn't legal for anybody. We don't care if you're a patient. We don't care if you're a kid. We don't care if it's CBD. We don't care what. It's absolutely illegal in just 7 states. And those states are West Virginia, Arkansas, North Dakota, South Dakota, Kansas, Nebraska, Indiana, and there's an 8th one, and that's Idaho. And Idaho's completely surrounded. There's legal in Washington and Oregon. They're going to legalize it in Nevada. They've got CBD in Utah and Wyoming. They've got medical in Montana. And then above them in Canada, they're going to have legalized, and they've already got medical. Idaho's completely surrounded. But there's a lot of states out there like that, and they're fewer and fewer as time goes on, because this election season, we got North Dakota on the ballot for medical marijuana. North Dakota. Unbelievable. And we've got Florida on the ballot for medical. And the polls are looking real good there. We got Arkansas on the ballot. And here's some breaking news for you about Arkansas. They have 1 medical marijuana on the ballot. They've got 2. They're going to have 2 different medical marijuanas to choose from. Hey, which one do you like better? This is in Arkansas, of all places. Montana is voting on medical marijuana. They're voting to fix their medical. A lot of people don't know, but Montana passed medical in 2004, but in 2011, their legislature repealed medical marijuana. The governor vetoed that, and that saved medical, so they came back and they said, all right, we're just going to gut it. We're going to say you can't have dispensaries. If you're a caregiver, you can only care for 3 people. If you're a doctor and you recommend for more than 25 patients, we're going to have the medical board look up your records. His little kids, so I didn't want to say. We're going to have the medical board look up your records and audit you and get you all intimidated. Now, there's been a lot of court battles over that in Montana, but the long story short of it is we lost those battles, and at the end of this month, August 31st, those restrictions go into effect in Montana. No more dispensaries. Caregivers caring for 20, 30 patients have to pick 2 or 3. That's all they get, 2 or 3 now. And for the doctors now that want to recommend, they got to worry about losing their license if they talk to more than 25 cancer patients, 25 AIDS patients, whoever it is, pain patients. So there's battles going on all over the country. And don't think that the legalizations are slam dunks either. Now, the latest polls in California are 64%. California's looking pretty slammed up. Latest polls in Arizona are 43 versus 49. We're behind. More people want to vote against it in Arizona. Nevada, the polls are 50%. They're right on the edge. Massachusetts, the polls are at 43%. Looking like it's not going to pass there. Maine is looking pretty good at 58%. So none of these are slam dunks. We got to keep going, and we got to keep fighting. So no matter what you got here, understand there's also problems happening all over the country. And you can do something about it by getting involved. You can contribute to national organizations. There's plenty of them. They're all over HempFest to talk to. You can also give to HempFest itself. How many people are here ever donated in the HempFest bucket? Yeah, that's good. That's good to hear, because what happens is they estimate for how many people they get in here. They only get like less than a dollar per person. It's like pennies, you know, cents that they get per person. Man, it ought to be $5-$10 a person, really. How? Where are you going to find so many great bands and so many great vendors and smoke weed out here on the grass? So on your way out, two things. Pick up a piece of garbage and donate in the bins. And get involved. Hempfest.org, normal.org, SSDP, Students for Sensible Drug Policy, Women Grow. There's the Women Grow that's happening all over. There's all sorts of patient groups you can get involved in. The number one thing is showing up, because the first three letters of activism are ACT, A-C-T. You got to do something about it. And you can make a difference. We already have. We've already changed our laws, some good, some bad, but we've made changes and we're moving forward. I'm Radical Russ from CannabisRadio.com. You can also check me out on HighTimes.com, Radical Rant Column. Thanks for letting me educate just a little bit, and have yourselves a wonderful Silver Anniversary Hemp Fest.
Problem, I don't know what to do. Every time I smoke weed, my girl comes unglued. She gets her granny panties all up in a wad. If I fire up a bowl of really good pot, I don't want to offend her little delicate nose, but I need a buzz, and that's just how it goes. So when she's got a problem that I want to get stoned, I start contemplating about living alone. Cause I just want to get high. It's what I really want. I just want to get high. I like to smoke a lot of panthony. She doesn't realize. But I just want to get high. Just wanna get high. I've got a question and I need to know. It may sound kind of funny, but here I go. How did I end up with a girl that doesn't like to get baked? It's like putting dill pickles on your birthday cake. I guess it's time for me to make a choice. Do I quit smoking weed? Just put up with her noise. A little bit of bitching beats being alone. And I can handle anything as long as I'm stoned. Cause I just want to get high. What I really want, I just want to get high. I like to smoke a lot of Cantaloupe. She doesn't realize. She really don't know that I just want to get high. I just wanna get high. I need to get high. I just want to get high. You guys just want to get high?
Hell yeah!
We're on a mission from God.
Oh, that's right. It's 420 here in the Pacific time zone. Time for us to take our union-mandated safety briefing, and when we come back, we will play the coolest rock song with horns from 1968. Nice guess with Chicago's 25 or 64, but that was from 1970. And it means 3:35 or 3:36 in the morning.
See me driving a van, I'll tell you that.
Being green is good. Growing green is good. Making green is great. CannabisRadio.com.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Vuber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Vuber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be, the Vuber way.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Adrian, I finished it.
Okay, maybe you're high, too. NORML stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living.
Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
Warning, hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that. This is the Russ Belleville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. 25 after the hour, and we continue our look back at the 25th anniversary Seattle Hemp Fest that took place just this last weekend in Seattle, Washington. I got to hang out backstage most of the time and just visit with all the experts and activists and industry leaders as they made their way through. Friend of the show, Martin A. Lee, was available backstage. He's with Project CBD and interviews and covers the science of cannabinoids like no other.
Welcome back, Tokers and Toquettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. Radical Russ here, backstage at the Seattle Hemp Fest, the main stage area, and we're joined by one of the leading experts out there on cannabinoids, CBDs, and more. Martin Lee is with us. Hello, Martin.
Gosh, I think you overstated about the experts. There are experts out there. We try to report about them.
Yes,
doing that. There is amazing science, amazing therapeutics happening. It's an amazing experiment embodied by spirit of the Hemp Fest. Been so important to the community. And I think one key aspect of cannabis as a healing plant is it's a community-building botanical.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's a very important aspect of its healing properties that I think are kind of either overlooked, not discussed, taken for granted.
Yeah.
But Hemp Fest brings it out for me.
You don't see Lavender Fest. You know, we have it.
Although, nothing against any of the other plants.
Nothing against lavender, though.
We're not going to be chauvinistic about any plants.
Plant chauvinists. We can't be that way, no. So there's been so many developments as of late with respect to the scheduling of cannabis itself, the DEA denying the rescheduling. And what's your take on that? What do you think?
You know, it never ceases to amaze how the federal government can choose to act in such a self-embarrassing way.
I mean,
what a pitiful, embarrassing display of public policy and ethic or anything. I mean, just it's that they would keep doing this. On the one hand, it's been going on for so long anyway, so it's not like anything changed the next day after they didn't. It seems that, you know, they're looking at this whole phenomenon. This is an amazing phenomenon, this pro-cannabis cultural shift that we're still not seeing the peak of yet.
Yeah.
And the federal government is dealing with this too, trying to figure out. It seems to me from what they're doing is, you know, tax and regulate rec and keep medical for the big pharma and the FDA. That would be the impulse. That would be the And it seems what the recent decisions, including the decision to allegedly let up a little bit in terms of the number of places that can grow cannabis and it could be a source for research, it seems that sort of everything to enable big pharma, that's what FDA does.
Yeah.
Not surprising. You know, you could see it coming from a mile away, you know, and so the question is how are we going to respond as a community, because there's been a lot of really interesting and important therapeutic research, experimentation, and success that's real, and that deserves to continue.
This has been the fourth straight petition that has tried to do some sort of rescheduling. Every time there's a petition, it takes 5, 6, 9 years before the government responds to it. We get the same response every time. Hillary Clinton's promising. She says, well, I'll get in. It'll be scheduled too. Really? Is there anything that changes depending on administrations, or is it just the system itself isn't designed for plants?
I think all of the above. I think it's complicated. I think it's just that. I think they don't. The powers that be, to the extent that they try to implement policy to harness these movements in the direction they want. This is a massive social movement we're talking about. This is not something typically that the federal government has to deal with. This is an unusual phenomenon. It has its root in the 1960s. It's more complex than that, but for sure. And this has succeeded as a huge social phenomenon, the medical marijuana / just good old marijuana. It's amazing when you think about it.
How much of the cannabis culture would you attribute to the fact we had to be clandestine, had to be outlaw, versus how much of it is, you know, inherent in the plant and the way it brings people together? And the corollary of that would be, as we legalize, does part of the cannabis culture disappear?
It's very paradoxical and complex, and it's everything about this plant, at least the way it expresses itself in history, seems to be like that. It's whatever you expect, the opposite is very possible. Whether you're drug warriors thinking you're pouring money into researching how marijuana harms the brain, as the Reagan administration did, pouring millions of dollars into that, and lo and behold, what you end up doing is fostering the discovery of the endocannabinoid system, which explains why marijuana protects the brain.
Yeah.
You know, which really provides the scientific underpinning for that. You know, and then here we push so strong to legalize, thinking that's the next step beyond medical, and it would enhance access even more for patients and everybody, however you want to talk about it. And then look what happens in Washington, boomerangs in everybody's face. Seems any part of the, you know, whatever your angle is toward cannabis, got to be careful, because it's like a trickster. It'll play tricks on you, and I think impossible to predict, but I think there's certain realities in the society that you can't ignore. I mean, what was the whole Bernie thing all about? People recognize there's something very unfair, the way, you know, the money's portioned out. It's obviously a big issue now. We're going into possible legalization for adult use in California, and that's not a game changer. It's almost like a game ender, maybe. But it's that's huge one way or another. Big money coming in is going to mean big changes. There's no question about that. Again, you could see it a mile. You could telegraph. It's not like, gee.
No surprise.
So, what are we doing? I mean, I'm not trying to, like, suggest, you know, I know something or I'm doing something somebody else should be doing or isn't doing. But I'm just saying, like, as a community, you know, we're hearing all along, like in Washington, they were saying they will not tolerate two coexisting distribution systems. Okay, they kept saying that. Was anybody paying attention? I mean, I think we were hearing, but it just, nonetheless, look what played out recently in Washington State. And, you know, which still, it's a doozy. And coming here, you know, in the middle of a great hemp fest, a great weekend, but yet everything's hanging in the balance in terms of so many changes right now that are pending for the cannabis community, or at least we used to call it that, now industry or whatever. The whole thing is, you know, what a wave that's building.
And no doubt.
Sometimes I think about, like, what happened in Germany when the Berlin Wall came down, and you had the folks that I would draw a parallel to, the Hempfest organizers. In East Berlin, in East Germany, there were anarchists and punks and ecologists and kind of cool Protestant pastors and bicyclists. And, you know, they had a strong oppositional community, political and counterculture. And that was the seed of the changes that happened there. And yet when the Berlin Wall came down, which is not necessarily what they were aiming for. They were aiming for a just society, whatever form it would take. But like a tidal wave, it just completely overwhelmed that movement. And with a unified Germany, and and I look at this situation, I think, is this like this? Here, you know, it's like frozen in a moment. You just see it coming. But what can you do? What a time.
We are definitely witnesses to history unfolding in front of us. We're speaking with Martin Lee, and let's talk about what we've learned recently, because people now, at least the listeners to my show, are educated on THC and CBD. They were pretty clear on those. Tell us some of the things that are happening with other cannabinoids as far as discovering what they're for, how they can be used, and so forth.
Well, the scientists have identified various cannabinoids, with THCV and THCA and CBG and CBC, and you can it's a whole alphabet soup of amazing molecules. Generally, they only exist in the plant in very, very small quantities. Most often, there's a few anomalies, and one can go and look at these specifically. Something like a THCV, tetrahydrocannabivarin, it's called. It has a certain adjunct to the molecular structure, or a little chain. But it does something very interesting. It's one of the, there's actually only four cannabinoids of the 100 that's been discovered. that bind directly to cannabinoid receptors in the brain and body. THC does. CBN, a breakdown product, does. And it turns out THCV does also. Generally only found in very small quantities, except a few African strains. We have a few now in California that are growing out. Black Beauty is one of them. But in a certain area, what this THCV does, it binds to the CB1 receptor in the brain, the cannabinoid receptors that mediate psychoactivity. It binds to it, but it blocks it. THC binds to it and activates it. You know. But at the same time, THCV also hits this other cannabinoid receptor, this two-system cannabinoid receptor system in the body that have been identified clearly, CB1, CB2, CB1 in the brain, mainly CB2 in the periphery. Well, THCV and THC both bind to this CB2 receptor in the periphery, which is tremendous therapeutic implications for any kind of inflammatory, autoimmune condition, all kinds of metabolic disorders. Okay. Really important when you can modulate that receptor. And both THC and THCV turn it on. They both do. And in some conditions, particularly conditions that express excess, a lot of conditions are expressions of what you might call cannabinoid deficiency. Dr. Ethan Russo has talked about clinical endocannabinoid deficiency, low levels of these marijuana-like molecules in the brain that occur naturally. If you have low levels of them, it's associated with predilection to PTSD, to clinical depression, to all kinds of conditions. So rooted in this deficiency, hence if you smoke some weed, boost the signaling of these receptors, yeah. And it's curative. But what's interesting, there's certain diseases that are express excess in endocannabinoid functioning, obesity, diabetes, certain heart conditions, liver conditions.
Okay.
And in those situations, you don't want to activate the CB1 receptor too much. If anything, you want to calm it down. But you do want the CB2 receptor activated in the periphery because and so THCV is ideal for that,
wow.
Particularly when combined with CBD, which also has a similar effects, but through different molecular channels. So that's like a hugely exciting, that could be a killer app for,
wow.
You know.
So THC is a brain THC and THCV is a body THC?
No, THCV also goes to the brain,
okay.
But it attaches it. What it does in the brain, it acts differently than THC
okay.
does. But it modulates the same pathways, but in different ways.
Okay.
But in the periphery, they do the same thing.
Okay.
So, again, it's a combination of what you asked one example of.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, there's dozens of things like that. You can get very arcane and very specific. I personally find it really interesting as a non-scientist to learn about this. It's been really a kind of an adventure, I have to say. You know, where it's really at is with patients using these things, doctors slowly getting onto it, and there's a lack of doctors really in this area. That's been a big, big problem, and at least in California, where Project CBD is based, that we see. But people are using these medicines, sometimes with great success, and we're learning about you. Now we're beginning to see patterns, and it's very exciting, and I would hate to see that truncated in any way. That's a great laboratory experiment in democracy. That's how we think of the medical marijuana experiment. CBD has been a very important part of that.
Yes.
It's not the whole ball game by any means, but certainly it kind of italicizes the therapeutic aspect of the plant in a way. So, you know, we're right in the thick of it in that regard.
So Project CBD is branching out to include these other cannabinoids then?
You know, we always have. The projects, it's even broader than I,
okay.
But we emphasized CBD because at the time, no one really knew about it in
sure.
the medical cannabis community. And it was a way of saying, hey, THC is not the only game in town. And we thought politically that was actually an important message and an empowering message.
Yeah.
And it has been. You know, in fact, but again, like you say, things don't always work out the way you
think. Sure.
I would never have predicted CBD-only states and all this.
Yeah,
oh God.
Yeah, that's,
you know, that's not what we were thinking. You know, but okay, that's the plant, the trickster again.
Yeah, that, I did want to get to that subject of the CBD-only states, and do you see more of those happening, or are they going to get the hint or get the message that, you know, some THC is necessary in these cases?
I think that's pretty understood within the community, that THC or THCA,
yeah.
really, really important addition to the mix there. Yeah, but it's chaos out there. Every state has its own level for what's permitted. North Carolina, 0.9% THC. Federally, it's 0.3. In Texas, it used to be 0.5, but they got jealous and they want to make it 1 point. You know, to be the biggest. I don't know. And every state is different. It's sort of like that. It's complete, and in every situation where it's CBD only, it's really you don't have a functional distribution system or anything. But it does make people, and sometimes explicitly, it's protective of families that if they want to try to get some of this hemp oil online or whatever, that they can at least do so without feeling they're breaking the law. In some states, recognizing that they can't supply it, even though they've made a law,
yeah,
they allow citizens of their state to get it from another state. Mm. So
many complexities, like you say, it's somewhat of a trickster plant. Martin Lee and Project CBD is a .org, isn't it?
Yeah.
ProjectCBD.org, you can learn a lot there, so check them out. Anything else we need to tell them, books or appearances that you'll have or other contact?
Busy time, but definitely plug in the Project CBD website. If you're in Northern California, come visit us at Emerald Farms. That's a really special, unique dispensary. In Hopland, it's the southernmost town in the Emerald Triangle in Mendocino County, and it's a green technology wonderland. Hmm. It's a permaculture learning center. It's all solar-powered green buildings and wonderful, not CBD only, but certainly strong CBD inclusion in a dispensary, and just a beautiful spot. Russ, if you're ever by there, come on and
I'll make my hang way on down the
deck.
I-5.
Hang out on the deck, overlooking the ponds.
I would love to. Martin Lee, thank you so much for talking to us, and have yourself a great hemp fest.
Thank you. You too.
Great speaking with Martin Lee backstage of the main stage of Seattle Hemp Fest. We've got plenty more from Seattle Hemp Fest coming up for the rest of the week, but if you can't wait, you can get it now on demand through my SoundCloud page, soundcloud.com/radicalruss. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, another interview from Seattle Hemp Fest. It's Allison Drayson, the CEO of Edaluz in Washington State, and a little bit about being a marijuana-infused product maker in Washington when we return.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Cannabis use isn't the only thing growing. So are we. Grow with us. CannabisRadio.com.
Tommy Chong is ready to cut through the smoke and change the tone of Tilk Radio.
You know, during Dance with the Stars, I started feeling discomfort.
Yeah.
And not only that, I was doing these old man smells. And it was kind of embarrassing because, you know, all the Dancing with the Stars crew, cast and crew, you know, they're all young kids.
Yeah.
You know, and then all of a sudden, this old guy would come along and do one of those silent farts, you know, that you don't know you're doing it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you smell, and everybody go, what the hell smells? And, you know, and you knew it was me. And so I'd scurry off to the bathroom, you know. And that's when I knew that there was something wrong.
The Tommy Chong Podcast, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome to my world.
Get the latest updates on The Russ Belville Show by following Radical Russ on Twitter and liking The Russ Belville Show on Facebook.
Coming soon to a city near you, Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. Get all your cannabis accounting, legal, and compliance questions answered by their knowledgeable panel of industry experts who want to help your cannabis business boom. Whether you're a grower, dispensary operator, or a newcomer to the field, your cannabis business needs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. For information on upcoming events, visit CannabisFinanceBootcamp.com.
Yar, thar be pirates here. Har, 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 har.
You're tuned into The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
A
All right, welcome back, everyone. We're going into our final segment here on the show. Allison Drayson from Etta Luz. We interviewed her backstage at the Seattle Hemp Fest. Before we let you go, though, a reminder, we've got our Hemp Day Hump Day with Doug Fine tomorrow. We'll also play an interview with Joy Beckerman, one of the leading hemp experts in Washington State. On Thursday, cops say legalized drugs, we've got Teresa Smallwood, a former prosecutor. And on Friday, Maya Elizabeth from Whoopi and Maya joins us on the show. But now let's go to Allison Drayson backstage at the Seattle Hemp Fest. Welcome back, Tokers and Tokettes. Radical Russ here backstage at the Seattle Hemp Fest, the 25th anniversary. Backstage at Main Stage, and we just had the 420 break, and everybody's feeling irie. Joining me back here, we've got Allison Drayson. She's with Etta Luz, and you're the CEO, correct?
I am.
Fantastic. So tell us what Etta Luz is all about.
Etta Luz started as a medical cannabis edible company about like 2010. And we were very conscious of our ingredients and of our starting product and using labels that are FDA. You know, we really wanted to, we were one of the first to stand out with our like FDA required labels. And so now we are in a limbo situation now because medical is over in Washington State. And so we are looking to partner up with a current processor to get our edibles on the recreational market.
Are there moves on this new hybrided recreational medical thing that they're Frankensteining together here in Washington? Anything as far as your regulations as labeling goes?
No. Well, the new market, there's nothing, there's no cannabis to even make medical at this point because it just started July 1st. Okay. So it's going to take, you know, it takes a while to grow a plant.
This is like the start over.
This is the start over. But you know, one of the sad things is like the medical community that we built up here that is now, it's like we're homeless. And we've all kind of like, you know, having to find other areas within the community that's, it's the new community of cannabis.
Yes. Wow, it's going to be a lot of change going on here in Washington State for a long time, it seems like. One of the hazards of going first, perhaps.
You know, I have such mixed feelings about
yeah.
it.
I think we all do. I think it's like, well, we wanted to stop arresting people, but eh.
I get it. You know, and I definitely don't want our prisons like filled with plant prisoners because it's such a waste of money and resources. But I also see that like the loss of a community that we built up over the last, you know, 5-6 years is just, you know, it's sad. Even those who have already gone on into the new regulated system are having issues with, you know, being torn of what to do. So it's been fascinating to observe it all.
It's an interesting study, too, being in the Pacific Northwest, and I'm based in Portland. We legalized 2 years later, and at least from what I hear from the people in the medical community, doing a far better job of the integration and the rollout. Why? They're both Pacific Northwest states. They both had similar medical marijuana laws. Why the difference?
I have no idea, but you guys are much more progressive down there in Oregon. You get your home grows. I mean, you're not without with issues.
Yeah, they cut them down a bit.
But I'd like to think that in Oregon that they looked at the mistakes that Washington made and are trying to do it better. That's all I can hope. And at this point, it's the best model that's out there.
Well, thank you. I tend to agree. Oregon's doing it really well. I aside from our Eastern Oregon Compromise, I'm not too fan of that. Too much of a fan of that. But
I don't know the full laws of Oregon. I just know that there's a lot of people who are migrating down to Oregon because they find that they can still serve patients in an economical way and a positive way, and that your laws are so much easier to deal with down there.
Well, I'm hoping what happens is there ends up being this cross-border competition. And when
I
they
thought there already was.
Well, and as people, these best talents start to flee south, maybe that starts to change.
You guys are
minds.
Getting lots of good growers that I know are coming down.
No kidding.
Super and great hash makers too.
Yes, we are. We're speaking with Allison Drayson. She's with Etta Luz. Is it Etta Luz?
Etta Luz.
Just Etta Luz.
Yeah. Okay. So the name actually came from my grandparents. My grandmother was Ethel, and my grandfather was Lou. And I'm from the South, from Charleston. And so I took all my grandma's recipes, and that's how I started my edible company. So I took their two names and combined them to form Etta Luz.
Yeah. So do you still have relatives in the South?
I do. Oh, my family is very entrenched. I'm like a, you know, an eighth generation Southern.
Wow.
I don't.
Southern Belle.
I was at some point. I liberalized.
Yeah. So that's always interesting to me. I'm from Idaho and had to leave my whole family behind because I couldn't stay there and keep out of jail. Being from all the way across the country, has that been difficult for you?
Hell no.
No?
Hell, you know, my parents have been really supportive. You know, they see the good work that I did in the medical community, and they just, it's like I use the opportunity to educate them about cannabis so that then they go and educate their Southern friends. And, like, you know, every time I go home, they're like, oh, did you bring anything from the West Coast? I'm like, I don't know about all that. There might be something in the freezer.
That would be a crime, wouldn't it?
It would totally be a crime. I would never do that, ever.
Illegal.
I'm so law-abiding. but like, I guess I get the feel that, like, those people deserve medicine, too.
Sure.
And it's really hard being on the West Coast where, you know, you can get medicine anywhere you need, some decent medicine. And the fact that those people are sick, too, don't they deserve to have access to the plant?
Yeah, it's what's changing a lot of minds, I find, are the edibles and even more so the topicals. I've been telling people, you want to legalize marijuana, get grandma a topical.
That's how I started with my family. My dad had bad knees, and I got him some cannabis basics, getting her a little plug there. And he's like, oh, my God, it works. And now he'll be like, send me some more of that shit.
Yeah.
You know, because it's CBD, so it's very low THC, and it's a HABA product that can be shipped across the country.
There you go. I got the chance to catch Representative Dana Rohrabacher at the Capitol when he admitted to his use of a topical. And the follow-up on that is that he has reported numbers of his colleagues, he won't say who, but numbers of his colleagues in the House who are now asking about, well, hey, tell me about this topical thing.
I actually work with a lot of ex-NFL players because I work, I've met them through High Times, and so I help them find topicals that are helpful for their aches and pains post, you know, football.
Is that with Gridiron Cannabis?
No.
Oh,
no,
just
it's just like I've met them through private means, and they don't want to get involved in actual cannabis because of their endorsements, but they want the pain relief that cannabis can offer them in a topical. Topicals are super hot.
Yeah.
I think that they are definitely going to be the way of getting more people open to the idea of the plant.
Yeah, absolutely. On the edible side of this, I was speaking with someone earlier about how it was kind of, edibles were kind of the surprise for a lot of us, both on the prohibition side and on our side, as to A, how popular they were, and B, how much they'd become part of the prohibitionist repertoire against us, particularly with the little kids and the overdoses and the ERs. Give me your thoughts on the edibles, and I know you have some tips on overdose
prevention. You know, I've been hearing a lot of people talking publicly about that there are no antidotes for THC.
Yeah.
But Ethan Russo in the British Journal of Pharmacology in 2012 wrote about antidotes using terpenes such as limonene or pinene. Limonene can be found in orange juice, in lemonade, pinene, pistachios, pine nuts. I always keep those in my house in the event, like, because there have been times when I've eaten the wrong capsule of THC, and it turns out it's, like, you know, way higher. Drink a little bit of lemonade, and I can honestly attest that it works.
Wow.
In the High Times house, that's how it actually, I started to piece it together. In the judge's house, they would have lemonades, orange juice, the pine nuts, and the pistachios, and I had asked Elise McDonough, who I saw you interview earlier, I had asked her why, and so it all came full circle with the knowledge that I learned from Ethan and what they were doing at High Times. So I always recommend to people, if they get too uncomfortable, whether it be with concentrates or edibles or even just smoking flower, keep those things handy. Everyone has, you can go to the corner store and make sure you have orange juice.
Sure.
You know.
And, you know, the only other remedy that I'd heard like this was peppercorns.
Well, you can sniff pepper, but it's so much easier to orange juice. I mean, pepper is a little weird. You know, that's the beta-carotene, in the black pepper that helps with the mitigation of the delta 9s, like the limonene and the pinene. But that, like, more people need to know that there are antidotes, and I feel that, especially in areas where the prohibition is strong, if they knew that there were some tools that they can use, if their kid gets a hold of cannabis somehow, you know, these are easy home remedies.
Yeah.
But now I have the dread realization that the lemonade I've been having at lunch has been killing my heart.
It is. It does. In the same way that having a high CBD, also mitigates the effect of the Delta 9. So I actually know people who can tolerate higher levels of THC because they are ingesting CBD in their daily regimen. But if you're mitigating the effects of your Delta 9 when you're drinking lemonade or orange juice with your cannabis intake.
And going the other direction, mangoes.
Mangoes will get you even higher.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing how terpenes can work that way? I love terpenes are my favorite. Like, it's just amazing the synergistic effect that they have with the THC.
Yeah.
It's the awesome, wonderful thing about our plant, the cannabis plant.
And this gets referred to, Dr. Gupta refers to it as the entourage effect. Others have called it the entourage effect as well, but I think that's maybe where the mainstream heard of that term. And that's a big part of it, these terpenes. And I'm starting to find now people that are extracting terpenes from other plants.
They are.
And adding them to their cannabis products.
They are. And, you know, I actually took a class at Bastyr on essential oils.
Okay.
And we learned that it's non-toxic. You know, there are some people out there who say it should only be cannabis-derived. I feel for patients, cannabis-derived terpenes are important for them to get that synergistic effect. But if you're on the recreational market, I don't feel like that there's a problem with the products of terpenes that come from other plants.
Yeah.
You know, there's also the synthetic, the compounded terpenes that are made in a lab.
Yeah.
Everyone has their own perspective of that.
It's fascinating how
much. But they are selling them.
Oh, yeah, they are.
They are selling them isolated, and they're selling them for very expensive, for 10 drops. Very, like $100 for 10 drops.
What? That's crazy. All right. Allison Drayson, CEO of Etalooz, give out some contact information, any of the other online or plugs.
You can find me on Instagram at Etalooz, and you can find me on Facebook at Etalooz, or you can hook up with us at Etalooz@gmail.com. And that's Etalews@gmail.com. Or on Instagram and Facebook. Thank you.
Lou like Alcindor, not like Abbott. There's my incredibly dated references.
Thank you so much. This has been fun.
Thank you, Allison. And we're going back to Seattle Hemp Fest because this weed ain't going to smoke itself. Well, we had a great time at Seattle Hemp Fest. And folks, before we leave you today, we opened up the show with breaking news out of the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals. We give you some more breaking news out of the 10th Circuit, at least from that area. Oklahoma Secretary of State has certified that they have collected enough signatures to put medical marijuana on the ballot in Oklahoma. That's right. This year we'll be reporting on medical marijuana votes in Oklahoma and North Dakota. Somebody better check the thermostat in hell. All the time we got for today. Thanks for joining us. Join us again the rest of this week at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern for the Russ Belville Show, the NPR of POT. For everyone here at CannabisRadio.com, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You're taking seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it.